faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
The Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to The Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. So my question is, when did you last invite someone to church? I say it's my question, but it's actually the question asked by my guest this week. Michael Harvey travels around the country aiming to help Christians invite people to church. He's convinced that the answer to church growth is much simpler than some Christian leaders have made out. He's the developer of Back to Church Sunday, which in 2019 is September 15th, the co-author of Unlocking the Growth, published by Lion Hudson, and founder of Unlocking the Growth Trust. His new initiative, the National Weekend of Invitation, brings together all the learning from 15 years on the road and takes place on the 21st to the 23rd of June. So welcome, Michael, to Leadership File.
Andy, it's great to be with you.
It's great that you could come. And how did you get into all this?
Well, I was just having a cup of coffee one day with the communications director of the Bishop of Manchester, who'd had this idea about a welcome Sunday. And she changed the course of my life by saying, Michael, if I take the media side of this thing, would you look after the church leaders? So that's how it started.
Right. What were you doing at that time? What was your role work-wise?
So basically, I'd started a business which with somebody else's money, which gets acquired by the biggest global insurance company in the world at that time. I'm a director of that business. I quit that business to set up a business consultancy. So I was consulting with businesses, helping them to unlock growth.
Okay. And your particular skill within that all?
Seeing opportunity, seeing things sometimes that other people don't see.
Okay.
My first business was really trying to kind of bring two industries together. And to me, it looked, you know, quite simple, but to others, it looked a little bit complicated. So perhaps I brought that into this kind of realm as well.
Okay. And I hope I did justice to your kind of ministry in the introduction. You can correct me if I didn't, but I mean, you don't receive a salary as such for what you do?
No, I have for the past 15 years lived by faith. I mean, gradually God weaned me away from business consultancy to the stage where essentially now I live by faith. I live by what people give me for the work that I actually kind of do. So yes, it was a shock to the system gradually, but it was good that God kind of gradually did it, because I think it would have been very difficult, you know, for all in one go.
And so what have you been finding on your visits to churches? You know, you talked about 15 years of chatting to folk about this business of inviting.
Yeah, so basically I've not just chatted to churches in the UK. I've had the privilege of visiting 14 countries in Western Christianity, mostly countries that have English as the first language, although just latterly I've been doing some work in Germany and the Netherlands. One of the major findings, which I call the church's greatest missed opportunity, is that if you ask a normal congregation, is there somebody God is nudging you to invite? 70% of a congregation come up with the name of somebody that God is nudging them to invite. And I call that the church's greatest missed opportunity. Well, why is the greatest missed opportunity? Well, it looks to me as if God is calling people to invite. And why is it missed? Well, because it's invisible. And one of my jobs is to make the invisible activity of God visible. It looks to me that God is really, really active. But because we tend to actually kind of have a limited sight, sometimes we miss that.
These folk you perceive to be doing so because, you know, they sense a quickening in their spirit? Or is it, as you ask the question, how do you discern the kind of feedback you're getting?
Well, basically, kind of I get them to write down on a piece of paper if somebody comes to mind. And people say it in lots of different ways, you know, kind of, you know, the person jumped straight to mind. I felt them on my heart. God laid them on my, you know, it's all of that stuff. And so essentially, you know, I have a methodology to actually kind of make that invisible activity visible.
And no doubt as people are listening to this broadcast, there'll be people in their heads.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect, and it seems to have held true, that wherever I go, it's always 7 out of 10. You know, whichever country I go to, you know, in whatever situation, it's always about 7 out of 10.
So I was going to ask you if there are any regional trends in terms of welcome and invitation. You're based in the north of England, which is stereotypically a more community feel place, and the south is more stereotypically less community. I don't know if you found that.
I mean, there are regional trends in the reasons that we're not actually going to invite anybody, despite the fact that 7 out of 10 of us have got the name of somebody. But no, I think in Western Christianity, we are still working on a 1950s and before that model of Christianity, which is a welcome model. So where we actually kind of consider ourselves welcoming churches. Well, that's fine to a degree, but the problem is you can only welcome people, generally speaking, if people get themselves across the threshold of a church building, which, of course, before the 1950s, they would, you know, kind of be coming, you know, kind of in much bigger numbers than they are doing today. So welcoming, you know, the word welcome is outside most churches, but actually it's no longer good enough, you know, and so I want to try and help us create churches that are welcoming and inviting. So get the two things working together. It's not abandoning the welcome, but it's trying to get them working together.
Right. And so how are you measuring success in terms of when you go into a church and you're trying to generate a different mindset? What are the kind of things you're looking for?
Well, success is a very interesting word. It's kind of one of those words that that essentially jars with me. And I think it's a very problematical, biblical, you know, word as well. But leaving that to one side, if I take the question at face value, well, first of all...
Sorry, I'm not offended because I deliberately use the word success.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's finding out that 7 out of 10 of a congregation have got the name of somebody. I mean, I just think that's incredible. Now, other people might say, well, it's odd, me, yeah, of course, Michael, etc. But, you see... One of the mistakes about what invitation is about, we think invitation is about us. Well, yes, it is, but the invitation appears to be coming through us. And so what I'm really saying here is that God is actually kind of inviting us to connect with somebody. Now, that might be to invite them to a God conversation at an act of worship or an event, or it might be asking you to invite them round to your home and have a God conversation or have a cup of coffee over a God conversation. What's really exciting for me is that I think it's God that's actually kind of doing this. And so, you know, kind of one of the, you know, another thing I might critique. So if we take the word success, and I'm very leery about the word success. Sure. I think what's happened is we're following a philosophy of success rather than a philosophy of faithfulness. I think that's a really major issue for our generation. And I think it's very problematical. It appears to be our target culture. It's all about targets, all about growth. when in fact, I think, you know, we need to kind of get back to faithfulness. It doesn't say in the Bible, well done, good and successful servant. Mm. And when we put success as the criteria, it piles pressure at every point of the system.
Okay. No, that's very helpful. So you run seminars on the material. What are the kind of things that you do in the seminar? What are you trying to
Well, if it's true that 7 out of 10 have got the name of somebody, the next question must be, and this is what I do in the seminars, is to ask, well, what's the reason that we're not doing this? If it's true, you know, so that, let's make it a big if. If it's true, let's explore together, and I lead facilitated conversation to try and help people kind of work out, you know, what's going on. And what I've discovered is that 80 to 95% of Christians have no intention of inviting anyone. So, Andy, I'll give you that figure again. So we're very clear as to what I've just said. 8 to 9.5 of us out of 10 have no intention of inviting anyone. And, you know, one of the things I've learned on this journey is to be very interested when it goes wrong. Be very interested. Because I think we're trained to actually kind of think about, to always think that God is in the successful things. That's what we're trained. You know, we're surrounded by this training of always looking at success. But most of our Bible stories are based on when things go wrong, not when they go right. So why should we assume that God is always in things when it goes right? You know, couldn't God be in it when it goes wrong? And so I'm really interested in getting people to try and work out in a facilitated conversation, so what are the reasons that we're not actually going to do this?
We're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck, and I'm joined this week by Michael Harvey. Michael is the co-author of Unlocking the Growth and founder of Unlocking the Growth Trust. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Michael Harvey. Michael is the developer of Back to Church Sunday, the co-author of Unlocking the Growth and founder of Unlocking the Growth Trust. We're talking particularly about the whole business of inviting people and what Michael has been finding and traveling around churches for some 15 years and running seminars with folk and discovering that actually many of us, and probably as you're listening to this, maybe includes you, have no actual intention of inviting someone, even though probably someone has come to mind already as you've been listening to this broadcast. So how are people responding to the seminars as you give this and kind of highlight some of these issues?
I think it would be fair to say with hope. They come sometimes not quite wondering what to expect. That's their first expectation. But they leave with hope because as we kind of go through the process, and one of the things that one might call it is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're caught out, unfortunately, by our thoughts. You know, we're supposed to love God with our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. And so my job is to try and kind of help the church think about what it's thinking about and to actually kind of make that visible. And so we put up on a flip chart the reasons why Christians are not going to do it.
Okay. And the classic ones?
So the classic ones would be, I know my friend will say no, it didn't work last time, you know, I couldn't invite to this, you know, kind of, they might ask me a difficult question that I don't know the answer to. There are 12 common reasons to the 14 countries in Western Christianity. We're all saying exactly the same thing, which makes me very suspicious when we're all saying exactly the same thing. And it's a mistake to actually kind of leave it at that, because the problem is if you actually kind of say, well, they might ask me a difficult question that I don't know the answer to, and that's the reason that we're not going to do it. Well, you could then say, okay, we're going to do a 15-week course on difficult questions that people could actually kind of ask you. Well, let's extend that to 5 years, you know, so that actually we don't have to do any mission and, you know, you are constantly on a kind of training course. Of course, if you take any of the kind of the reasons particularly seriously, you get diverted from what the real reason is, because those are the reasons that are given straight away and is not the real reason Christians don't invite. In fact, if I ask church leaders on their own what the reasons is, and I ask congregational members what the reason is, we get two different kind of views as to what they are. You know, church leaders very rarely get what congregational members say is the real reason, which then means there's problems. Church leaders might say, well, it's something to do with, you know, the act of worship. It's not, you know, quite, you know, kind of strictly come dancing perfect, you know, kind of yet. Whereas congregational members, that might be in the list, but the real like the bit of the iceberg that starts to appear is the fear of personal rejection. That appears to be the kind of the beginning point and where the hope starts to come from.
And I think you're wise to try and delve beneath the apparent answers that people give when actually there's that fear. And so presumably at some point you try and address the fears.
Yeah, and the really great news is fear is not the problem. It's what you're afraid of, which is actually kind of the problem. But, you know, with fear, I think fear is a thin place. It's a place we can meet God. Jesus taught more about fear than he did about love. And yet we in our generation of Christianity find it very difficult to admit that we're actually afraid. But, you know, here's a really good thing is, you know, God says, don't be afraid, because at that moment that you're afraid, I'm with you. Now, you know, that seems to me to be self-evident that when you're feeling afraid, God is actually with you. Now, that doesn't, in many respects, take away the feeling of fear at times, but don't let fear stop you doing that which God has actually asked you to do. And so God is always calling us to our discomfort zone. And of course, the feeling that we're going to feel in our discomfort zone is fear.
Okay, well, that's very helpful. And of course, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, because we need comfort.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, some churches have gone for what's called seeker services to try and, or invitational services to try and create a greater sense of excitement amongst the congregation so they can overcome whatever it is. And you suggested fear might be the reason. Is that something you're an advocate of? Or are you saying actually just the normal quotes, church service is what you invite people to?
Well, you know, when God gives us the nudges to who to invite, the next question to God must be, to what?
Okay.
So I don't want to get tied down as to what that should be.
Okay.
But let's say it is the act of worship. I've said for a number of years it should be ordinary with a bit of sparkle. Because you want to not just invite them once, you want to invite them to the next service, and the next service, it's going to be so special, so seeker-friendly. Why wouldn't it be like that on every given week? But really, you know, I was told as a youngster that when we have an act of worship, that God would dwell amongst the praises of his people, that God would be present. So therefore, if God is present, why wouldn't we invite people into our act of worship? It can't possibly be because we don't think God is present, could it? But it's something about, getting back the sense that God is with us, just as God is with us in this studio,
yeah,
Andy.
Yeah. And it comes brings you back to that invisible becoming visible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That sense that, I appreciate we're a long way from September 15th, but which is the next Back to Church Sunday. But you've got a weekend of invitation in 21st to 22nd of June. But some listeners, leaders are listening, thinking, okay, the penny's starting to drop. What might be some of the things they need to think about in anticipation, say, of that time, or indeed, regarding any services that they're running in the next little while?
Yeah. Well, the Weekend of Invitation is, there is an exemplar. Just as Back to Church Sunday was just an exemplar. It's, it's not really, you know, supposed to be there ad infinitum.
Yeah.
I think I probably have trouble getting rid of Back to Church Sunday. But Weekend of Invitation is as it says, it's a weekend. Mm. So the idea is on a Friday, why don't we encourage our congregational members to open homes, invite another couple of congregational members and a couple of non-congregational members and have a meal together, you know, and the God conversation, you know, kind of will come, you know, kind of through that. On a Saturday, why can't, you know, a church do a barbecue or have a Christian artist kind of come and just have a fun time together with a little bit of an epilogue at the end. On a Sunday, ordinary with a bit of sparkle. I'm trying to exemplar that actually there's lots of things that we could invite people to if we open our minds. And I've placed it 21st to 23rd of June because it's just before that, certainly from an Anglican, and many churches now are doing Thy Kingdom Come, where we're praying for five. Well, it'd be lovely if one of the five that we're praying for were maybe, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, you know, we think about inviting them to something. It's a thought.
Yeah. And as we kind of finish this conversation, Michael, did I read somewhere that you wouldn't regard yourself as a kind of natural evangelist as such, that you've had to work through your personal fears yourself? Would that be fair?
I think God has got me doing this because I'm in the 80 to 95%. I wouldn't naturally, you know, kind of want to, you know, put myself in discomfort. Mm. You know, so I think God's got me doing it because he knows, you know, I've got trouble here myself. So I don't come pointing the finger at anybody else. I come representing congregational members who, you know, kind of are struggling in this area. And I don't think there's anything wrong with struggle. I think that's at the heart of our formation as Christians. So I've had 15 years on the road trying to kind of struggle my way through this to help other Christians, you know, kind of take a step of faith into their fear. And, you know, what you find is that God, it's as much about the person God is inviting to invite as well as the person who's going to be invited. And in the end, it's about healing. It's about wholeness, becoming who we're meant to be in Christ. And so what's happened to us, we've reduced Christianity in so many different ways, but we definitely need to kind of put back mission and discipleship together, mission and formation, because it seems to me that God forms us as we answer the call of God in mission. And to separate the two is a mistake. To make discipleship just head knowledge is a major mistake. But would you believe it? In mission, God is trying to disciple us. We get discipled by God. And that is a really exciting idea.
Fabulous, fabulous. We were talking before we came on air about books, and you were kind of listening to books, audio books. Any particular ones that may spring to mind for Christian leaders who might be listening, you know, outside or inside the quotes church world?
Yeah, well, I have a fairly new book myself called Creating a Culture of Invitation in Your Church, which is the follow-on to Unlocking the Growth. And in that, I've got the best practice ideas. It's another way of actually kind of taking your congregation through this facilitated conversation. I'm listening constantly, you know, to all sorts. I'm into Kierkegaard at this moment in time. I'm really interested in the kind of the stuff that he was saying about Christianity. And really, I will try and pick up ideas from all sorts of different people in different kind of different genres. Somebody pointed me towards somebody called Margaret Wheatley, who is a business leadership guru. I like Carol Dweck, who talks about fixed versus growth mindset, trying to get that in the educational system, helping our children unlock the potential of their lives. So pulling wisdom, I think, from other places, and then seeing how it kind of works in with some of the scripture that we have.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Michael, so much. We've been a great joy to have you on the show. So that's Michael Harvey. And again, his name of his trust is Unlocking the Growth. You can go to his website and get in touch if you're interested.
Yeah, weekendofinvitation.com is the best website at this moment in time, because it's got lots of videos on there, lots of ideas, what to do on your Welcome Sunday or Inviter Sunday, etc., etc.
Fabulous. So weekendofinvitation.com. And look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. You can, of course, go to our website and download archive versions of the Leadership File, including this one in due course. You can go to iTunes and sign up for past shows there. And you can go to the store and get a copy of my book, The Leadership Road, Less Travelled. Look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.